Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine with you on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 10 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Friday, September the 21st. We're going to try something a little bit different this hour. Usually, except for our Friday Weekend Review Hour, we stick to one topic with each guest we talk with on the Ideas Network. And that's what we typically do when we talk with former Media Talk host Dave Berkman. We invite Dave to talk with you from time to time about a significant media issue in the news when it's making news. But this week, there are so many of them that we couldn't narrow it down to just one. So we thought we would have a free-for-all this hour and talk about all of the media issues making news this week and welcome your thoughts on the ones that we noticed, or maybe have you call in on ones you've noticed for Dave's commentary. The week started out with the Emmys on Sunday, and Fox did more than bleep a naughty word when Sally Fields made anti-war statements in accepting her award.
I am proud to be one of those women, and let's face it, if the mothers ruled the world, there would be no...
And it seemed every time you turned on the TV this week, you saw some sort of update on O.J. Simpson and the charges that he faces for trying to, as he put it, pull his own sting to get back some sports memorabilia he says was stolen from him. TV crews bought tickets and joined him on the plane when he flew home to Florida from Las Vegas yesterday. Does this coverage annoy you or entertain you? In between the OJ coverage, we learned Dan Rather has filed a lawsuit against CBS for $70 million. And there's been lots of talk, too, over an ad that the group MoveOn.org placed in the New York Times late last week. And yesterday, the Senate voted to condemn the ad. We'll get Dave's take on all of these issues, and we'll see if he has any others, and welcome yours, too. 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. In Madison, 263-1890. Or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Please include your first name and your community with your email. Dave Berkman, the former host of Media Talk on Wisconsin Public Radio, a retired professor of mass communications at the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee. Good morning, Dave.
Morning.
Maybe we'll call this the Media Week in Review.
Yeah, well, I think there is one theme here that unites most, not all of these stories,
okay.
And that is an increasing and a really disturbing tendency toward an acceptance of censorship.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about the Sally Fields censorship. It wasn't just Sally Fields, though.
There were about five or six things this week that directly bear on that.
But just on the Emmys, it wasn't just Sally Fields. It was also silencing out. Oh, yeah, I didn't know. But there was Ray Romano made some sort of reference to his former TV wife sleeping with Frasier now, and that was silenced.
Yeah, because it's on the Fox Network, as were the Emmy telecasts. There was the James Spader. I forget what the substance of it was, but he was bleeped as well.
Yeah. So what was Fox just too quick on the trigger, or what was going on there?
You always have to wonder with Fox. The phrase that she used was not the F word, war. It was goddamn war.
Mm-hmm.
And, the idea that somehow you cannot oppose or a religion or take the name of the Lord in vain, while that was originally prohibited in the 1934 Federal Communications Act, the courts overturned that 30 years ago. I mean, the idea that anything you say praising religion is fine, but anything you say that might offend religious people is awful is simply an absurdity. Now, what they said was that this, of course, would offend some viewers. And this is something that gets relatively little attention, but I'm increasingly coming to feel that this may be the greatest threat to the First Amendment that we have. And you, as a public radio talk host, certainly know this in the letters, the comments, the open lines, where somebody will refer to something either you or somebody said, or any radio or TV
mm-hmm.
talk host says, and says, I was offended by that.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I don't care whether it's coming from the right, which really originated political correctness, although a very successful PR scam of theirs was to say it's a left, but They originated years ago in three areas: patriotism, sex, and what the devil is the third one? Patriotism, sex. Well, I'll think of it in a second.
Yeah. But you know,
okay. So I am offended. What is the implicit message of that? Because I, Doris Smith, am offended. Therefore, you have an obligation to prevent anybody else from hearing what offends me.
Right.
With the left, it's things about minority groups and handicapped and whatnot. With the right, I say it's expressions about patriotism and sex. And, well, we certainly saw the patriotism in this thing with the, the United States Senate sworn to uphold the Constitution, freedom of expression. When did we start living in a country where somehow, is there any other democracy where being critical of the military is an offense? What is this, Stalinist Russia, Hitler Germany?
Yeah. Well, certainly, I'll talk more about that, too. But before we check the weather, don't you think, though, that the Fox and any network, any broadcast entity, is really jittery right now because no one wants this big FCC fine if somebody calls in with a complaint that they were offended?
Yeah, the answer is yes, and the answer is I'm not going to champion the cowardice. What are we going to see a repeat of what we saw with McCarthyism and 20 years later, everybody making their mea culpas? No, they're supposed to stand up to this. And CBS is in a Philadelphia appeals court, and it's appealing the fine by the FCC, and very good chance they're going in the Janet Jackson case, and there's a very good chance that they're going to win that.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's see what listeners think. What do you think about the silencing, the censoring of the Emmy Awards earlier this week, or any of these other stories that we talked about, the U.S. Senate condemning the MoveOn.org ad? We'll talk more about that after the weather. We'll talk some about Dan Rather's lawsuit against CBS. And we'll also talk about the OJ coverage. Couldn't miss it this week. 1-800-642-1234. If you'd like to comment on any of these stories, or if you have one of your own, 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. Dave Berkman, our guest, former host of Wisconsin Public Radio's Media Talk. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. You're listening to the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine. It's 18 and a half minutes past 6 o'clock on this Friday, September the 21st. Coming up at 4 o'clock this afternoon, it's Your Views on the News. Jean Purcell will be sitting in for Ben Marins. You're invited to call in with your thoughts about the week's most significant news story as far as you're concerned. That's Your Views on the News after 4 o'clock. Well, something sort of similar to that this hour, but we want to stick to the media stories of the week. We're reviewing all of the news this week when it comes to media coverage or media-related issues. We're doing that with Dave Berkman, former host of Wisconsin Public Radio's Media Talk, a retired professor of mass comm at UW-Milwaukee. We're talking from a censored Sally Field to Dan Rather's lawsuit to all things media with Dave. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. And we have an open line for you. JD in Madison, though, is on one of them. Hi, JD.
Hi.
Yeah, what do you think?
I was just regarding the censorship. The main thing was, the question I had was, if people are going to be upset by some things that are said on television, and basically they want things censored before it goes on the air, basically they'd have to go through a whole script and censor all of that before it goes on air. My personal opinion is there are some things that shouldn't be said on television, obviously, but basically it would come down to me. If I heard something and it really offended me, I just want to watch it. Because nowadays there's more and more people that can just go and file lawsuits nowadays because of something they didn't like. And that gets kind of out of hand. I think really if it just comes down to it and something that offended you, you should just not watch it.
Yeah. Dave?
Well, I'm not aware of any lawsuits that are being filed by people who said the court should intervene because I heard something I do not like. Most of the court action has to do with appeal of regulatory agency decisions. Can I just take a brief moment to mention three more, because I think this illustrates how widespread this is. Mm-hmm. All of this in the last week. We saw the tasering of a student down at a political rally or a political discussion down at the University of Florida.
Yeah, it takes it a step beyond censoring, huh?
Well, John Kerry tells the kid that he had gone over, go ahead, finish what you want to say. And at that point, two Florida state policemen, the state of Florida, decides that that speech is wrong, and they subject this kid to physical torture. A White House manual surfaced last week that showed that those in charge of all of Bush's appearances gave instructions on how they're specifically to avoid any presence of dissent. Remember, the First Amendment says the right of the people to peaceably assemble to petition for redress of grievances is an absolute. And, in fact, the federal government now has settled one suit for $80,000, and there's at least three others pending in the court by people who were arrested by either local authorities or the Secret Service for daring to express or display a sign that differed with Bush's views. And now you have this thing with these two very prominent critics of the Israeli influence in American foreign policy being hounded off the air and being avoided because somehow it has been decided that the one area that where you cannot express yourself today freely is in criticism of Israel.
Yeah. And there's also perhaps a thread with the Dan Rather lawsuit, isn't there, in that he's alleging that CBS was kowtowing to pressure from the White House and he was made the scapegoat in that whole so-called Memogate story.
Yeah, well, you know, the problem there is that he really screwed up this story.
Mm-hmm.
The story is essentially true. I mean, there can be no doubt George Bush was shown all sorts of favors. Remember, in those days, the National Guard did not go to war. That's why you enlisted in the National Guard. And there's nobody who doubts this. Why didn't he check a document? So that became the focus. Now, his suit is a very sad attempt to somehow rectify the harm that has been done to his reputation. There was one intriguing thing in it. It wasn't specific. He claims that one of the investigators who had been hired to examine the background on this had suddenly been fired by CBS when this investigator allegedly found, according to the brief filed by the lawyers, this guy was fired when he found something which might have supported the legitimacy of those papers. Now, I'm fascinated by that because everything I have seen would indicate that those documents were falsified.
Yeah. So you don't put much merit in Dan Rather?
Oh, I think it's very sad.
Mm-hmm.
He's hoping to use this to put an end to the opprobrium that is been leveled at him. It's only going to increase it.
Yeah. Well, this is not quite the same along the same lines of the censorship we've been talking about, but there's lots of bleeping done on that tape we heard of O.J. in the hotel room in Las Vegas when he was swearing at the guys about having a stuff.
Yeah, virtually every one of those was either the S or the F word.
Yeah, and that should be bleeped as far as you're concerned.
Well, no, I don't think anything should be bleeped, but I'm also cognizant of the realities.
Yeah, what do you make of all the O.J. coverage?
I think this one is not going to be anything like the murder trial. I think within a week it's going to be gone. There may be some attention to the trial. This trial will have none of the elements of the twin murder trial in L.A.
Yeah, why? So I mean, it doesn't have the white woman being murdered? Is that what you mean?
Yeah.
You really think this is just going to go away? Then how come we're seeing this wall-to-wall stuff?
Because it broke. But I think this thing is going to fade pretty quickly. There'll be a pickup of it when the trial begins, which will be November, December, or next year, or whatever.
Yeah. So you don't fault the media for buying tickets to fly in the plane back to Florida from Las Vegas?
Well, the same way I fault them for following Britney everywhere she goes and Lindsay Lohan and. You know, we have all of these scandals out there, and the fact is the public eats that up. But you do now have channels that are rather and shows that are rather dedicated to that sort of thing. I wish they took less time, not so much on the nightly network newscast, because they don't take that much time there, but on the on cable news, where they will go on for hours on this. If you, you know, on cable, it should be left mainly to Court TV and to the E! Network and to this new TMZ syndicated gossip show.
Yeah. Well, let's talk a little bit more about what happened yesterday in the Senate, where they voted to condemn this MoveOn.org ad for calling General Petraeus General Betrayus. Was that a smart move by MoveOn.org to place that ad in the first place?
I don't think the issue is whether it was a smart move or not. The issue is you should have a right to criticize a military figure without the upper chamber of the American federal legislature condemning you. It was pure pandering, and the fact that 22 Democrats went along with it explains why the dissatisfaction with Congress gives it poll ratings in the latest national polls, literally half that of George Bush. It's pure, absolute, cringing pandering.
Yeah. Well, I put on your political scientist hat, that pandering was done. They're afraid the public would hurt them at the polls if they didn't do it.
Well, again, you know, that's why people fought to become McCarthyites back in the 50s, and everybody is doing their mea culpa. When we get to a point where we say political expediency justifies these violations of the most basic democratic precepts, let me suggest to you, Joy, we're in real trouble.
Okay. Well, I'm surprised that we aren't getting more reaction. All sorts of controversial and, I don't know, interesting or annoying things in the news this week. What do you think, listeners? 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, in Madison, 263-1890, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Do you agree with Dave that a lot of these stories have a disturbing a threat of censorship of political speech running through them? Do any of these disturb you? We welcome your thoughts and comments. Now, of course, the lines are lighting up and it's time for a news break, Dave. But bring us into news in terms of, I don't know, why now? Why do you think we're seeing all this now, this censorship of political speech?
Oh, I think we've been seeing it since the beginning of the Bush administration, although we can point to examples even under Clinton. Remember, I mentioned earlier about these three areas, religion, patriotism, and, of course, I did forget the third one, which is sex. Remember what Bill Clinton, the great liberal Bill Clinton, did to his Surgeon General when she said something that is beyond argument. Let's teach them masturbation so they don't get pregnant.
That's right.
And she was immediately, my God, adolescents masturbate? Hey, they wouldn't know how to do this unless they were taught.
We're going to check news, and then we'll take calls for Dave Berkman, former host of Wisconsin Public Radio's Media Talk and a retired prof of mass communications at UW-Milwaukee. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. Good morning. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. 6:36 now on this Friday, September the 21st. And we are talking all things media with Dave Berkman this hour, former host of Wisconsin Public Radio's Media Talk, a retired professor of mass communications at UW-Milwaukee. Lots of media-related issues in the news this week, so it's sort of a free-for-all. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. We've already talked about the censorship that occurred on the Emmys, or at least the silencing of a number of award winners, including Sally Fields, who referred to the war in Iraq as a gosh-darned war. That was silenced out. We're talking about Dan Rather's lawsuit against CBS. We're talking some about the OJ coverage. We're talking about, just about anything that you've seen or heard in the media this week. And Lyle in Port Wing joins us. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi. I thank you for this show. I am concerned about the relative news blackout around things like protests against the war. For instance, on Saturday last weekend, there were over 100,000 people in Washington, D.C. protesting the war. And when I went online on Monday to the major news outlets, the mainstream news, to see what the stories were about it, I could find absolutely no stories in the New York Times, in the Boston Globe, and in the BBC. These are major outlets people rely on. And I'm wondering, is 100,000 people protesting in Washington, D.C. not news anymore? Very mm-hmm. curious and somewhat disturbing.
Yeah, Dave, did you notice that?
I am not aware of anything that indicated, even the organizers never claimed anything close to 100,000 attending. Much of this dissent now is taking place online. There are serious questions as to whether these new age technologies are as effective as, you know, mass demonstrations, but it was nothing like it was nothing like 100,000. And the New York Times, and I get the New York Times every day, did have stories on it.
Yeah, Lyle, thanks for the call. Steve in Superior is with us now. Hi, Steve, you're on the air.
Good morning. I seem to notice that it's. Our media is, I want to use the word segregated into opinion and not necessarily delivering what I call concrete facts or news in our mass media. And I mentioned to the person answering the phone there that down in Louisiana right now, we have a situation where some folks hung nooses in a tree.
Yeah.
And then a young man got his face and body kicked in by another group. And, you know, they've marched down there coming to the aid of these kids who I think the charges were a bit steep. And I told Eugene Kane that in an email, that the realistic problem here was these kinds of things go on as young people learn their, you know, how to bait each other and the perimeters and such. The bottom line is that Duke, when some kids got in the same kind of jam, the media was all over the kids. And let's talk about it. It was a racial issue. They said, oh, this is all because of race, and she's black, and they're white. And now down there, it's the opposite. But they report the news opinion instead of facts of the case.
Well, what do you mean? What kind of opinion are they reporting? I don't know.
Okay, they're trying to say that this is a racial issue. It's not, and it is an issue.
It's not a racial issue?
No, it's an issue of justice.
It's an issue of unequal justice.
Exactly.
Disproportionate justice against blacks.
Look, absolutely.
The media have been doing 6 months of mea culpaing about the way they jumped to conclusions in the Duke case. But the idea that somehow in the public mind it is settled that the Duke lacrosse players were guilty is an absolute absurdity. Polls have shown this, and the media have been going out of their way to correct themselves on that. So don't cite that incident as proof that somehow the media only respond to issues that are raised by, black radicals or whatnot. You have a system of justice in this country where there is disproportionate charging, overcharging, and sentencing of people of color to prison for crimes which, when comparable crimes are committed by white people, draw far fewer sentencing. I mean, the most obvious example is the fact that the penalties for using the same amount of cocaine in a distillate form, that is crack or as powder, are vastly different. You get much less time if you use powder, which is what white folks and suburban kids use, than if you use the distillate crack.
Yeah. Steve, anything else?
Yes. Dave, you're missing the point here. That's not what I was talking about. I have said, and many times what people have said, that I think that Clinton could have done a great thing in 2000 by opening up the prisons and getting the black population back in balance, unless, of course, they're violent criminals. The point I'm making is that the news itself, the reporting of the news, has gone into camps. And the problem is that they're making it very difficult to look at things in a justice manner or a logical manner. They always have to go with the race baiting.
Well, I simply don't think that is the case here. We are far less critical of the people who are racist than we are of the news reports that show that. Well, you're playing the race card. It seems only blacks play the race card. Whites never do, and that is an absurdity. Now, you may say that's an opinion. I'm telling you that that is a fact, and I wish there were far more opinion. I wish there were far more Keith Obermans around than there are. Unfortunately, he's about the only one on the liberal left who is able to do the things he does, whereas the right has a whole network in Fox, which, for example, refused to carry the brief address by Senator Reid responding to George Bush's speech last week. And, you know, I can go on and on.
Yeah, that's right. Keith Olbermann is off for a while. Did he have appendicitis or something?
He came back last night.
Oh, he did. Okay.
And he concluded it with one of these commentaries that get so much attention, condemning the Democrat and the congressional cowardice on censoring resolution of the. Of the MoveOn.org.
Yeah. Steve, thanks for the call. I need to move on to Chuck in Endeavor. Hi, Chuck.
Hi, good morning, Joy, to you and your guests. As usual, a very interesting show.
Thanks.
I was a little bit miffed at the Senate's vote to condemn the MoveOn.org ad that criticized General Petraeus. I'm a military veteran, and I don't think that in a free democracy we can put anybody on a pedestal so high that they're beyond criticism. And I think all the evidence to anybody that takes the time to look at it and read beyond just maybe the front headlines or special interest group magazines is that General Petraeus is playing along with the Bush administration's happy talk about the war. And the criticism, if a public official is going to give us not the reality of what's happening, but the slant, is justified. And unfortunately, the Senate has kind of fallen right in line with the Bush administration, which has a tendency to hide behind their generals. And in this case, it's a symbiotic relationship in which the generals are parroting what the Bush administration is doing, and then the Bush administration is pointing right back at the generals saying, oh, look, they're telling me we're making progress.
Yeah, it's an interesting circularity there. You know, I'm old enough to remember the way we deified a guy who history now recognized was almost a madman, a megalomaniac in Douglas MacArthur. And I don't know your age, but I'm sure you're old enough to remember what happened when Colonel Ali North appeared before the Senate in the Iran Gate hearings in that uniform, which he admitted he had not worn in 15 years, except when he was on reserve duty for 2 weeks a year. And the committees of Congress just faded because there he was sitting looking so marinish in his, capital M, marinish, in his uniform. This tendency in a democracy to cave over and play dead in front of high military officials is very disturbing. This is the kind of thing we associate with fascist dictatorships.
Our guest is Dave Berkman. He is a retired professor of mass communications at UW-Milwaukee and former host of Wisconsin Public Radio's Media Talk. And we invite Dave from time to time to talk to you about media issues in the news, and there are a lot of them this week. Just talk some about the resolution that was passed in the Senate yesterday condemning an ad by the group MoveOn.org. Also talking some about censorship at the Emmy Awards, talking, if you want to, more about O.J. Simpson or Dan Rather's lawsuit or any media issue in the news that you noticed. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. It's 12 minutes before 7 o'clock on this Friday, September the 21st, coming up after 7. I'll be welcoming in John Erpenbach, Democratic State Senator from Middleton, who is the primary author of the Healthy Wisconsin proposal, the plan for universal health care in Wisconsin that some say is holding up the state budget. And he will say, no, it's not. And we'll wonder if you want this plan as a part of the budget, separately or not at all, coming up after 7 o'clock. Dave Berkman, our guest now, who is talking with us about all things media that happened this week, 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. Dave, this isn't one that we talked about talking with you about, but I'm just wondering if you have any comment on the Attorney General of Wisconsin, J.B. Van Hollen, is filing a friend of the court brief or some sort of document that opposes the merger of the two satellite radios, Sirius and XM. Do you have any thoughts on whether those two should merge or not, or what that means for us?
Yeah, there are some. My God, I might be in agreement with the Attorney General.
No, yeah.
There are some legitimate concerns about antitrust here. What you have is two competing satellite radio services merging into one. That would be like there was only, I mean, take the AM band or the FM band. Would you want to have just every outlet on either AM or FM or on the broadcast TV channels controlled by a single entity? And there is some cause for concern there.
Yeah, he was saying it would hurt competition. So that's I guess, the reasoning there. Don in Madison, hi, you're on the air.
Sure. And good morning to you, Ms. Cardine. The point of view, the point is the ownership by six or seven big business, big money people, of most of the broadcast media and most of the print media in the United States. As far as the United States goes now, we're one of the most highly propagandized and most isolated populations on the face of the earth. And in this sense, we're analogous to what happened in Germany back in the 30s. And I recall the president's response to the publication of the surveillance by the FBI and other federal agencies of telephone conversations, purportedly just by people that weren't residents of the states making phone calls overseas. But the meaning seems to have been having the ability of federal surveillance to look at everybody. Yeah. And the president's response was disapproval of the media that broke the story.
Yeah. And this has been, well, it's generally been true of all presidencies, but it's particularly true of this presidency, always using as a cover national security. The media have no right to report on violations of law because I am the president and I, there by definition, cannot break the law, a la Richard M. Nixon. I think you're absolutely right on that. But, you know, when you talk about a singularity of media, one of the big stories that broke this week was this whole story about Blackwater.
Oh, yeah.
As almost if it was a surprise. Well, about 18 months ago, and I may be off by a couple of months, The Nation ran an extensive article outlining all of this with Blackwater. It was picked up nowhere. Nation readers knew about this. We're not surprised. The media seemed to have been shocked. Why have they avoided this story?
Thank you, Don. Carolyn in Green Bay. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi. I would like to comment on the MoveOn.org situation. First of all, I hope that people who believe in free speech might think about donating money to this group, because I think that's really what they're fighting for.
It's going to be the biggest fundraiser they've ever had.
I hope so.
They're raking it in right now.
Not that I agree at all with what the Senate did yesterday, but I'm just wondering where the corresponding outrage and condemnation is missing for the group. I think it's called Freedom Watch, that's spearheaded by Ari Fleischer, that's running ads that are flag-waving and very propagandizing the White House point. point of view. It seems like if we're condemning one political perspective for advertising, shouldn't there be equal condemnation for the other side?
Well, I think you're missing something that's more important. I mean, here's this whole sanctimonious thing about how dare we attack the military. This from a guy whose campaign was actively involved in what was done to John Kerry, the Swift voting. This from a guy who sits in a party where a triple amputee veteran of the Vietnam War, and I'm talking about, what was his name, former senator from Georgia, you know what I mean. Any event, they trashed him as unpatriotic. And the hypocrisy in George Bush condemning this but not condemning what was done by his own party is absolutely appalling. Now, what Ari Fleischer's group is doing, I think, has some legitimacy within the context of legitimate political debate, although, you know, obviously, like I suspect you, I personally disagree with everything that the ad says.
Yeah, his group is putting on ads that just support the war effort, that kind of thing. Here's of all things, Ari Fleischer talking about the MoveOn.org ad. I happen to have a clip of audio from this week from him.
Okay. There's nothing more serious you can charge a member of the military with than the word betrayal. It's akin to being Benedict Arnold. It's akin to treason.
So is that why we should condemn the ad, Dave?
Well, first of all, it isn't akin to treason. Treason is the one specific crime mentioned in the Constitution. It is the only crime in which the Constitution defines what is necessary. It is not treason. Treason involves giving aid and comfort to the enemy. Now, you can say that anything that opposes a war does that, in which case free speech is dead, but this is not treason.
Bob in East Troy is with us. Hi, Bob.
Yeah, I just wanted to make a comment about the mention about the XM and Sirius merger.
Mm-hmm.
But the competition concerns that the service that people pay, it's not something you need to survive, so it's not necessarily important that there is competition in that.
Well, you have that with cable television. You know, 80% of Americans now get their television not over the air, but from cable, and they have to pay for that.
Could you live without it?
I don't think that's a criterion.
Like competition concerns with gasoline or electricity. Yeah. Or
I can live without anything other than food, air, and water. This idea of necessity, I don't think, is the issue.
Yeah. Thanks, Bob, for the call. Say, Dave, do you have a take on the Cable Competition Act or the Video Competition Act that's in the state legislature that would open up the cable TV market to phone companies like AT&T?
Yeah, virtually it's a license for the cable companies to come to do to screw over customers. They never local jurisdictions could no longer raise questions or investigate when customers are being screwed over. It would grant the franchises in perpetuity. It is a giveaway, and one of the most nefarious things about it. One of the last shows I did on Media Talk, by the way, was with the co-author of the bill.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, what this bill does is it eliminates the requirement that every house in the service area must be passed. So what are you going to see in areas like the north side of Milwaukee, which is almost predominantly black and poor?
Yeah.
Because there'll be a lower number of people who are going to subscribe. So, you know, well, they're only black, they're only poor. We can skip them.
We'll do another caller, too. Christopher in East Troy. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, good morning. How about the arrest of a longtime assistant U.S. attorney from Florida who's was set up to have sex with a 5-year-old in Detroit? Haven't heard much about that other than online.
We certainly heard a lot about the member of the Florida legislature who, claimed I agreed to be sodomized by this undercover cop because he was black, and I figured he was going to kill me.
Oh, yeah. But I did. I mean, that story did just break. I thought the guy was. Didn't the guy try to commit suicide? I think that's what I saw some story that this guy tried to commit suicide while in jail.
Those stories will inevitably get a great deal of attention, especially if there's a sexual element to it.
Yeah. And finally, Phil in Mount Horeb. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I believe that the O.J. story has dominated the news recently because the U.S. public is addicted to shallow and sensational stories rather than substantive news. And I also believe that the administration has encouraged the major media outlets to report this distraction.
Yeah, final minute for you, Dave.
Well, I think they're happy that with anything that diverts attention. I don't think they have been sending out private messages to the heads of the major media saying, cover the scuds and so that the stories about our failings will fall below, in print terms, below the fold on the front page. That's a little too conspiratorial.
Yeah, and you figure we've probably seen the most of the O.J. coverage
of
now?
Of that one, yeah, but the caller is also right. Much of the public is fascinated with this kind of scuzz. I know I certainly are. I can't get enough of it. but I balance it out with an awful lot of serious stuff. And, you know, that's what democracy is about. Those of us whose minds are in the gutter, we deserve to be served, too.
All right, Dave, we'll call you again, and we'll do this again. Thanks a lot for being with us. Dave Berkman, former host of Wisconsin Public Radio's Media Talk, retired professor of mass communications at UW-Milwaukee. Thanks to Leo Duran for producing the hour. I'm Joy Cardine. You're listening to the Ideas Network.